Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We return again today on the Beacon Broadcast to our study of the book of Malachi. We spent the last two broadcasts laying the groundwork, getting some of the background and setting in place so that we can get into the opening words of this book on the broadcast today. We learned that it was written 100 years after the decree of Cyrus authorizing the Jews to return from Babylon to Jerusalem. It was after the temple had been rebuilt. It was after the walls of Jerusalem had been rebuilt. It was after the priesthood had been restored to service and the animal sacrifices and all of the Mosaic regulations were being carried out in the newly rebuilt temple. And yet we find that the people of God are not in good spiritual condition. They are going through the outward motions. They are carrying out the ritual, but their heart is not in it. And to that people, God sends a prophet to awaken them to the true nature of their condition, to show them their need, their sinfulness, to show them where they need to repent of wrongdoing and to be restored to a proper relationship with God. That is the task that has been given to Malachi. He is to deliver God's message to the people. And it is a stern message, though there are a lot of encouraging promises scattered throughout as well, as we shall see. But it is a stern message of warning, basically, that if you don't repent, judgment is going to come. So we'll get into the book on this Friday, August 23. Thank you for joining me. Many thanks to those whose financial gifts enable us to teach God's Word on the station. Malachi 1:1. The Burden of the Word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. In this opening verse, we learn something about the author of this book, the recipients of this book, the burden of this book. What does that mean? The message of this book and the messenger. So let's dive right in. First of all, who's the human author? And he's identified as one by the name of Malachi. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Malachi's name in Hebrew means messenger or angel. Many of you already know that the word angel means messenger, and there are some places, I'm thinking primarily of the New Testament, where the word is translated angel, but and that makes us, of course, think about a spirit being, a spirit messenger. That's really what the angels are in many cases, though they have other assignments than to carry messages. But many times they were sent to communicate God's word to people. They would come to earth and deliver a message from God. They were messengers. But there are times when that word translated angel could also refer to a human messenger. We don't always know, because the word itself can mean messenger or angel. In other words, it can mean a spirit messenger, and it normally does. But it can also mean a human messenger. And in this case, it clearly does, because Malachi is a human being. He is a man. But his name means messenger, or more literally, my messenger. In other words, the messenger of God. And beyond that, nothing else is revealed. Some of the Old Testament prophets we know a great deal about. We know where they came from, the town that they were born in, the city where they grew up, or the territory where they grew up. Sometimes we know their father's name. Sometimes we know what their occupation was before God called them into prophetic service. Some of the prophets we know a great deal about, but the prophet Malachi, literally my messenger, is one that we know virtually nothing about. But that tells us something important, too. What it tells us is that the message is what's important, not the messenger. We want to know all about the messenger. We have a desire, a curiosity, but sometimes an unhealthy fixation upon the human messenger. It's very easy for us to honor the messenger more than we should. Remember, in the Corinthian church, they were divided into factions over preachers, over human messengers. I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. I am of Cephas, Paul says many of them were saying. They picked out their favorite preacher, and they formed little cliques, little fan clubs around each of these preachers because they were giving more honor to the messenger than they should have. Now, actually, Paul himself teaches us in several places that we ought to honor those who are messengers of God, but we also have to be careful that we don't exalt them to a place of greater prominence than what we should, because the most important thing about Paul is not the man Paul, it's the message he delivered. And likewise, Apollos, and likewise, Cephas, and likewise, Malachi. And in the case of Malachi, we don't know anything else about him, so we can't really build a fan club around him. We just don't know enough. I don't know any Malachi fan clubs, do you? But the message that he delivered is weighty and powerful, and we are to understand that's what's important. So as to the author, he is a man named Malachi, and beyond that we know nothing else. The recipients of his prophecy, of his message, are indeed the people who make up the nation of Israel. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Now, many of you who have studied the Bible enough to know that for a great deal of the Old Testament history, the term Israel only referred to the northern kingdom, the nation of Israel having been divided after the days of Solomon into southern kingdom called Judea and northern kingdom, or Judah, and northern kingdom called Israel. And so sometimes when you see that word Israel, you're saying, aha, he's referring to the northern territory, the 10 northern tribes. But after the Babylonian captivity, that division didn't exist. People came back from all of the tribes. There was no division. There was only one kingdom, not two. One capital, Jerusalem, not two. Not Jerusalem to the south and Samaria to the north. The divided kingdom was over. And therefore, the term Israel refers to the nation of Judah. And it is true, if you'll study the record carefully and the genealogy carefully, you will learn that the returned remnant is predominantly from Judah. The southern kingdom before the Babylonian exile, but when they return from Babylon, they aren't called Judah, they are called Israel. After the exile, there is no recognized division. All of them are Israel again, as they had been before the division after the death of Solomon. Israel, which was, of course, initially the name of a man, Jacob, who was renamed Israel, Jacob, whose name means the deceiver or the supplanter, was renamed by God Israel, which means prince with God, and he bore the sons that became the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel. And when we say that, 12 tribes of Israel, we are generally thinking that Israel there means nation, and it does, but it can also mean the 12 tribes that came out of the father Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or Israel. But Israel now refers to the nation, to all of them, once again. And so Malachi, the prophet, the messenger, is delivering his message to God's earthly people, Israel. But it is called a burden, or in some translations, an oracle. My Bible says the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Some translations read the oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. The Hebrew word is also used to introduce the prophecies of Nahum and Habakkuk. They also talk about the burden or oracle. And this is a term that means a weighty message to be delivered. Weighty from the standpoint of the prophet, weighty message to be delivered from the standpoint of the prophet, and a weighty message to be received from the standpoint of the recipients. Now, in one sense, any message that comes from God should be considered a weighty message, but where there is a particularly strong message, a particularly sharp message, a particularly warning message, the term burden applies in a special way. It is a weighty message. It weighs heavily upon the prophet until it is delivered, and maybe even afterwards as he thinks about the weightiness of this message. And it is a weighty message to be received. It ought to be considered weighty by the people who receive it, not only because it's a word from God and therefore deserves to be considered a weighty message, but because it warns of judgment and the need for repentance. It is calling men to repentance. And if they will not repent, it warns of judgment to come. It is a burden. It is, and to use the other word that is sometimes used in translation, it is an oracle, which means an utterance, a charge, a prophetic pronouncement. If I remember correctly, and I'd have to go back to check this, but if I remember correctly, I think the prophecies of Balaam back in the book of Numbers were called oracles. An utterance, a charge, a prophetic pronouncement. Well, that's what you have here. And we are told in the very first verse, this burden or oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel by prophecy is indeed the word of the Lord, and that doubles the emphasis. We already know that. It is the burden, a weighty message that comes from God, to Israel by Malachi, whose very name means my messenger, so obviously he's not giving his own word, he's giving a message that has been delivered to him, but it's spelled out so that we don't miss it. The word of the Lord. It doubles the emphasis. Not the prophet's word, God's word. And that, you will find, is a frequent claim by nearly all of the prophets in the Old Testament. All of them claimed that what they were delivering was not their word, it is God's word. And it needs to be understood as such, it needs to be received as such. And so we will take up more of this weighty message on the broadcast on Monday. I invite you to join me then. Until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.